Good morning.
Good morning.
We welcome you to worship on this beautiful Sunday morning. It's been so good to see the sun this past week. It had been a while since we'd seen it. I have some announcements for you. You're welcome to come down for coffee and conversation following the service this morning. At 3 o'clock this afternoon, Greg and Zach Barnes and Steve Solkala will present a program of hymns and spirituals at United in Christ Lutheran Church in Eveleth, and you are invited to attend that program. Tuesday morning of this week, Project Day. Next Sunday, following coffee and conversation, we will be decorating the church for Advent and Christmas. Also next Sunday afternoon is the 50th anniversary celebration for Pastor Roger and Marjean Johnson, and you are at the Red Wing Covenant Church. You are invited to attend that. And next Sunday, we will be doing the Salvation Army. Please stand and read responsively the call to worship. Praise the Lord.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the company of the upright, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord,
studied by all who delight in them.
Full of honor and majesty is his work,
and his righteousness endures forever.
Hymn number 654, Come You Thankful People, Come. We pray. Almighty and gracious Father, we give you thanks today for the fruits of the earth in their season and for the labors of those who harbor them. make us faithful stewards of your great bounty in the provision for our necessities and the relief of all who are in need. To the glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and that would be on page 900 in the Pew Bible. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come, like a thief in the night, while people are saying peace and safety. Destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as, in fact, you are doing. And the second lesson comes from Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30, and that's on page 759. The parable of the talents. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one who had 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents, so I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who had the 10 talents. For everyone who has been given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant out into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
The energies we spend for God flow back to us redoubled. The hours we give to God renew our lives. The gifts we bring to God multiply and enrich us. There is nothing we can give that is not already God's. The usher will wait on us for the morning offering. Shall we pray? Great and loving God, you not only give your own Son for our redemption, but you also give us the courage to give beyond what is careful and with a flourish of faith. And so it is with praise and thanksgiving that we bring our gifts to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we are receiving the annual offering for Covenant World Relief and Development. And if you have your offerings with you, we invite you to come forward and place them in the basket here in front of the communion table. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, especially at this time, for your many blessings to us. We thank you especially for sending your Son so that we might have eternal life. We thank you for material blessings, for health and strength, and the ability to support ourselves. But we realize at the same time that there are areas of the world that are lacking these blessings. They are dealing with difficulties like natural disasters, poverty, hunger, malnutrition, lack of safe water, and war. We pray for these areas of the world, and we thank you for Covenant World Relief and Development, which allows them to deal with these circumstances and gives them relief and aid and long-term training to relieve their situation. We thank you for our church. We thank you for being with us during this time of transition. We thank you for those who have been able to fill the pulpit for us. But we pray that we might, before long, have a permanent pastor and one that will lead us forward and allow us to reach out into the community. We thank you for Steve and Barb Swanson, who minister in Sweden to refugees that have arrived there. We thank you for our military, for Grace and Sarah, and now for Brandon as he enters the Air Force. We thank you for our public servants. Keep them safe. And we pray that you would be with us during the rest of the service. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We welcome back to the pulpit this morning Pastor Scott Nellis. Before he comes to speak to us, we pray that you would turn to hymn number 657, Thanks to God for My Redeemer.
Thanks to God.
Well, good morning. It's good to be with you again on this Lord's Day. And yes, it is good to see the sun shining. Even better, it is good to gather together to worship the Son of God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. As you know, this is Thanksgiving week, and I pray that the hymns we're singing today, the prayers that we're offering, and the message that we hear from God's Word will get us in a thankful mood as we think of all the blessings that God has poured into our lives. The text I've chosen for this morning is Psalm 103, verses 1 through 13. Hear the word of God. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all of your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Let's pray. Oh God, we come this morning to worship you and to give you thanks for the blessings that you have poured out in our lives, especially for that blessing of having a Savior in Jesus and the eternal life that we have through him. We're thankful for being here. We're thankful for your care and provision in our lives. You are so good to us and so gracious. And now as we look into your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us and stir within us. Help us to be receptive and help us to be responsive to your word in terms of how we apply it to our day-to-day lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The story is told of these three older women who were discussing the challenges of aging. One of the women said, "You know, sometimes I find myself standing in front of the refrigerator holding a jar of mayonnaise, and I can't remember if I'm taking it out to make a sandwich or if I've already made the sandwich and I'm putting it away." Second woman says, "I know what you mean. The same thing happens to me. Sometimes I find myself standing at the top of the stairs, and I can't remember if I'm going up or if I'm coming down." The third woman piped in, "I am so glad I don't have that problem. Knock on wood. Oh, someone's at the door. I'll go get it." That kind of thing tends to happen to us as we get older, doesn't it? You start to forget things. I don't know if that's been your experience or not, but it seems to be happening to me a lot more and more lately. A couple of months ago, I drove to Biwabik to do some grocery shopping at Super One. And I grabbed my cart, and I'm going up and down the aisles. I'm getting the stuff on my list and even some things that weren't on my list. I roll into the checkout lane, and the checker starts to scan my groceries. I'm ready to pay now. So I reach into my back pocket, and I discover, much to my surprise, no wallet. I had left it at home. Talk about an embarrassing situation. So I sheepishly confessed to the checkout person that I had left my wallet at home, and she was very gracious to me. She just canceled the order. She kept things in the cart, and she set the cart aside for me so I could drive back home to Hoyt Lakes, pick up my wallet, and come back and pay for my stuff. Thankfully, I didn't have any ice cream in my cart. And thankfully, I didn't get pulled over for a traffic violation while on the road. But I couldn't believe I had forgotten something as important as my wallet. We can all be forgetful at times, can't we? And the same is true spiritually speaking. We can sometimes be forgetful in our relationship with the Lord. We can take God's blessings for granted and fail to give him thanks that he so richly deserves. Or we can get so bogged down in the pressures and problems of life that we lose sight of the blessings God has poured into our life. Giving thanks is something we need to work at. It's something we need to be intentional about. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 tells us to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. I want to underscore that word all. We are to give thanks in all circumstances. Not just when things are going well for us, not just when we feel like it, but we are to give thanks in all circumstances, even in the tough times of life. And why is it that we're to do that? Well, that verse goes on to tell us because this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. It's what God would have us do. It's one of the ways that we show honor to our Lord and demonstrate our love for him. David, in the psalm that's before us today, is reminding himself, and in the process, he's reminding us to remember to give thanks to the Lord. He's saying to himself and to us, don't forget. Don't forget God's blessings. Don't forget God's benefits. Don't forget what he's done for you. Remember to give him thanks from the bottom of your heart. Let your gratitude well up from within, bubbling up from deep within your soul. David then goes on in verses 3, 4, and 5 to mention five things for which we can especially be thankful, some of the key blessings that are ours in Christ. First, we can be thankful for the forgiveness that God offers. As David says in verse 3, our God is a God who forgives all of our sins. That forgiveness is extended to every sinner, and it covers every sin. David discovered that truth in his life firsthand. You remember his story? The affair that he had with Bathsheba? You know, he's in the palace one day, he's looking out of the window, and he sees this beautiful woman who's sunbathing on the top of her house below. And he decides he has to have her. And so he sends for her, and he sleeps with her, and she becomes pregnant. And now David, in his desperation to cover up his affair, he has her husband Uriah put to death in battle. David was guilty of adultery, murder, lying, coveting another man's wife. In that one act, he broke nearly all 10 commandments. And the longer he tried to cover it up, the more it ate at him on the inside. In Psalm 51, he describes how he sank into the depths of guilt and depression. It felt like his bones were being crushed. That's what unconfessed sin can do to us. It can haunt us and make our lives miserable. But when David finally came clean with God, when he finally confessed his sins to God, he experienced that total and complete forgiveness that God gives. That burden was lifted from his soul, and he was set free to move on and to move ahead in his relationship with the Lord. David personally discovered that the God we worship and serve is a forgiving God who forgives all of our sins, no matter what they are, no matter what we've done. 1 John 1 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and he will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. That's his promise to us. When we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we catch ourselves sinning and messing up, we can come to Jesus, confess our sins to him, and receive that complete and total forgiveness. We can know that it's over and done with in his sight. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I like what Corrie Ten Boom said about God's forgiveness. She said, he casts our sin in the deepest part of the sea. And then he puts up a sign that says, no fishing. Isn't that amazing? That is the awesome forgiveness of our God. And for that, we can give thanks. Secondly, we can be thankful for the healing that God gives. Not only does God forgive all of our sins, but David says here, he heals our diseases. Indeed, there are many of us here who can give personal testimony as to times when the Lord healed us of some sickness or some disease. It may have been through medication. It may have been through surgery or therapy. It may have come through the care of a doctor. Or it may have been an out and outright miracle. God works in all of those ways to bring us the healing that we need. In our family, our daughter Melissa is a walking, talking miracle. She just celebrated her 30th birthday a few weeks ago. And every time around this year when her birthday comes up, we remember the events surrounding her birth and we give thanks to God. She was born 6 weeks premature. Her lungs weren't fully developed. When she was born, she was gasping for air. And so they took her out of the arms of my wife and they put her in the neonatal intensive care unit and hooked her up to a ventilator. The first couple of days were touch and go. We didn't know if she was going to live or she was going to die. We had countless people from our family and church family and friends who were joining us in prayer on her behalf. And God was gracious. He chose to heal her. And 2 weeks later, we were finally able to take her home. Looking at her today, you wouldn't know that she had such a rough start those first 2 weeks of her life. But I really, truly believe that her healing was a miracle and was an answer to prayer. Our God is a God who is able to heal our diseases, and he invites us to pray for that. But it's important we be careful here. It's important we be careful and understand what David is not saying here. David's not saying that God heals everyone of everything every time. He's not saying that God's healing is guaranteed. In fact, there are times when, for some unknown reason, God chooses not to heal. There are times when that's not his answer to our prayers. And let me tell you, during those times, those are times when we really need to cling to God in faith. But what David is saying here is that there's nothing beyond God's ability to heal. And that includes emotional and spiritual healing as well. It could be the healing of a broken heart or the healing of a broken relationship. God can help us overcome an addiction. He can bring us out of a depression. He can break the hold that sin has on our lives and change our lives for the better. When I think of emotional and spiritual healing, I think of the story of the man who had lost the use of both of his legs in an accident. One day he was in his wheelchair and he was wheeling himself down the sidewalk, and as he was going, he was singing hymns and songs of praise. And there was another man who was there and who heard him doing this. And he turned to his wife and he said, "Can you believe that? That man's in a wheelchair and yet he's singing. How can he do that?" Well, the man in the wheelchair happened to hear his comment, and so he stopped, turned around, and rolled himself up to the couple. And he said, "I couldn't help but hear what you said about me, how you can't believe that I can sing, even though I'm in this wheelchair. Well, let me tell you something. I was bitter for months. I was angry at God. I mourned bitterly the loss of my legs. But then there came a time where I started to focus not on what I had lost, but on all that I had left. And that's when I began to sing." God healed that man of his anger and bitterness. He took it away and replaced it with joy. And it happened as he began to focus more and more on the blessings of God in his life. Maybe that's what you need to do this morning. Maybe you find yourself today struggling with fear or anxiety or discouragement. Maybe you're wrestling with anger and bitterness. I would encourage you to just go to God and ask for his healing in your life. Ask him to take those feelings of bitterness and anger and fear and anxiety and discouragement out and to replace it with his joy. Ask him to put a song back in your heart. After all, he is the great physician who brings us the wholeness and healing we need. So we can be thankful for God's forgiveness. We can be thankful for his healing. And thirdly, we can be thankful for God's gift of redemption. In verse 4, David says, he redeems our life from the pit. You think of a pit. It is a place of hopelessness and helplessness. It's a picture of darkness and despair. It's a place where there seems to be no way out and no way through. When life brings us to that kind of place, God says, I am there in that pit with you. I am there to help you and strengthen you and sustain you. My grace is sufficient to see you through. That was the witness of Corrie Ten Boom and her sister Betsy. During World War II, they were thrown into a Nazi concentration camp and were held there as prisoners. They were separated from their family members and were subject to all kinds of horror and abuse. In the midst of that pit, they continued to hold on to Jesus. And in the process, they found Jesus holding on to them. That place, that pit, became, through God's mercy and grace, a place of ministry for them as they began to share their faith with the other prisoners. We must tell them, Betsy said to her sister Corrie. We must tell everyone there is not a pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. That was what they experienced in their own lives through the presence of Jesus with them in that pit. But the worst pit of all to be in is the pit of hell itself. And that was the pit we were destined for apart from Christ. We were destined, we were headed for eternal separation from God because of our sin. Eternal separation from God is the punishment that we deserve because of our sin. And there's nothing that we could do by ourselves, in and of ourselves, to change that. But praise God, he did something to change that. He sent his son Jesus into this world to die on the cross for those sins. On the cross, Jesus took our place. He took the punishment that we deserved because of our sin. And in him, we have been forgiven. We have been redeemed. We have been set free from the power and penalty of sin. We have been lifted out of that pit of death and have been given eternal life. I read somewhere that there's an art collection magazine, and every time that there's a major art auction, it will publish details of the sales and the value the objects were sold for. Well, judging by some of the prices that were paid, some of those items were quite valuable. In the same way you can tell the value of an art object by the price that it's paid for, so we can tell the value that we have in the sight of God by what he paid for us. Jesus paid for us with his life. He has purchased us. We belong to him. We are his dearly loved children. And let me tell you, that's something worth remembering and celebrating and giving thanks for. Fourth, we can be thankful for God's love and compassion. He's a God who, according to verse 4, crowns us with love and compassion. In other words, he showers us with love and compassion. The good news at the heart of Scripture is that our God, the one who made us, is the God who loves us and cares so very deeply about us. And the amazing thing is we can experience that love and care in our lives firsthand every day when we place our trust in Christ. Alistair McGrath tells of the time when his aunt passed away. She was in her 80s. She had never been married. She didn't have any children. He was her closest living relative. So it fell upon him to take care of her estate. One day, as he was going through some of her things, he came across this old, tattered photograph of a young man. This young man had been the love of his aunt's life. In fact, at one time, they were engaged. They were looking forward to being married. But before the wedding, tragically, he was killed in an accident. The pain that his aunt experienced was unimaginable. Her grief was unbearable, but her faith was in Jesus. And somehow, over time, God saw her through. She had kept that photograph, and when from time to time she was feeling down or discouraged, she would bring that photograph out and hold it and look at it and remember the love that the two of them shared. As McGrath tells this story, he says that Jesus is God's photograph for you and for me. As we look at Jesus, as we look at what he's done for us on the cross, we see the reality of his deep and abiding love for us. If you ever find yourself wondering if God could love you, take a look at Jesus. Hold on to Jesus. Look at what he's done for you on the cross. Remember that and give thanks for that. And finally, we can be thankful for the satisfaction that knowing God brings. In verse 5, David reminds us that God is the one who satisfies our desire with good things, so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, you look around and it seems like you can see so many people who are feeling so dissatisfied with life. They're restless. They're searching. They want something more. They want something different. They want something better. It's like there's an empty hole in their heart that they have to fill. And sometimes they fill it with things, but it's not enough. It seems like the more they have, the more they want. Or sometimes people can bounce from relationship to relationship, thinking that this person or that person is what's going to bring satisfaction in my life. That's the one who's going to meet all of my needs. And then it doesn't happen. They move on to the next person and the next person. The truth is, only God can fill that empty spot that's there in our lives. Only by having a relationship with him can we find deep and lasting and abiding satisfaction. Only with Jesus as our Lord and Savior can we find meaning and purpose in life. You see, when we have Jesus, we have everything we need. We have everything we need in order to live life now. And we have everything we need in order to have life for all eternity. David was one who found satisfaction in God. He was the king of Israel, Israel's greatest king. He had it all. He had power, wealth, position, fame. He was adored by the people in his kingdom. David had everything the world had to offer. And yet he realized and knew that without God in his life, he would have nothing, nothing that really mattered. In Psalm 16, verse 21, in one of his prayers, he says this: "You are my Lord. Without you, I would have no good thing." And then in Psalm 23, verse 1, we have his own personal testimony where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You can translate it this way: "The Lord is my shepherd, Therefore, I have everything that I need. How about you? Do you know the shepherd? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you found that deep and abiding satisfaction that only a relationship with Jesus can bring? If so, remember that and give thanks for that. But if Jesus isn't your Lord and Savior, if you feel like there's something missing in your life, you're hungering or thirsting for something more, something different, then I would encourage you to ask Jesus to come into your life, to bring you his love and peace and joy and forgiveness so that you can experience that firsthand. That's the only way to find lasting satisfaction in life. Let me close by giving you this reading. Something to keep in mind as we make our way to Thanksgiving Day. It's entitled, "That Would Have Been Enough." If God had simply created us and given us this earth to enjoy, that would have been enough. But he did more. He paid with his own life. And that was enough. But he did even more. Today we stand before him created. Today we stand before him forgiven. Today we stand before him redeemed. Today we stand before him blessed. Blessed with family, with dear abiding friends. Blessed with generous provisions of food and comfort. Blessed with grace to survive trials. Blessed with love for one another. Blessed with bright hope for the future. It is enough, O Lord. It is enough. Jesus Christ is enough. I pray that you would have a thankful Thanksgiving as you reflect upon all the blessings God has given you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Thank you for the gifts that you shower upon us and your grace that has forgiven us and saved us. Thank you for your daily provision and for how you meet our needs. We thank you that your hand is upon us when we're going through trials and hard times. Forgive us when we take your blessings for granted and forget to thank you. Help us to remember that because we have Jesus, it is enough. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We're going to change our closing hymn, and in keeping with the theme of Pastor Nellis's message, turn please to hymn number 78. 78, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
No shadow of turning with thee.
Would you stand, please, and turn to one another and sing our blessing.